Welcome to the Calcio FC podcast, your home of Italian football culture. This week, we're going to get Italy reactions. Of course, more Serie B on the DC TV app. But first, joining me, David Farini, is Destination Calcio senior writer Emmett Gates. Dan Cancian is out with a cold this week, unfortunately. But his replacement to discuss the new appointment of Igor Tudor is a Juve superfan. You'll know her as a Calcio content creator, Alexa. Thanks for joining us all the way from Canada.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited.
I can see you're wearing a Cittadella shirt and a Juventus scarf behind you.
Yes, those are my two main clubs, I would say. Yes, originally a Juve fan, and then due to family roots, got into Cittadella as well.
Okay, we're going to get into the family roots a little bit later on. Let's start with Juventus, because I know that you're following the Thiago Motta story. You've been on the AJC podcast as well for quite a number, 3 years now. So Juventus, Thiago Motta, Igor Tudor, how do you see this panning out?
I'm really excited about the hiring of Tudor. I think that a change was needed, especially near the end of Motta's tenure. He lost the locker room. You can see all the reports coming out now. It was also evident during the season as well. And I started to see some red flags in terms of how he was dealing with players in their playing time, subbing players off early, not starting certain players like Thuram, Yildiz, you know, after benching Vlahovic. And you could see that there was definitely a tension there. And as fans, we also struggled to understand some of the decisions he made for the lineup. So I can imagine that as players that they had difficulty understanding that as well. So I think by the end, especially that Atalanta match and then finally that Fiorentina game, which was pretty much just a write-off, I think he knew he was out. So I think that a change was definitely needed, even for just the mentality of the group in order to try and make that push for Final Four. Because ultimately, if we miss Champions League, then that's a huge financial loss for Juventus that we can't afford right now. So I think Tudor coming in, as you heard the reports, he drove in all the way from Split, I believe he was in, just to come and sign the contract. And I mean, the contract is great, I think. It's a deal that allows Juventus to be in control of whether or not they want to choose to renew him and gives Juve options to look for a new name this summer. I'm happy with Tudor as a caretaker. However, by summer, I'd really like Juve to look for a new option just to continue and establish a new project, a new direction.
So Alexa, who would you like to see come in? If Tudor, say, if he delivers top four, who would be your dream manager to bring in the summer?
So this is a tough question to answer, honestly. Looking at in terms of availability and the state of Juve right now in the club, I was against it for a while. I didn't want any more returns. But, you know, if Conte is having some difficulty with the situation at Napoli, I think I would gladly welcome him back this summer. Like I mentioned, I was against it for a while for multiple reasons. But now I feel like the way he's just able to establish a group whenever he enters the change room and enters a club, like, I think he would do really well for this squad. We need a powerful and strong personality like Conte right now. So I think that would probably be my choice. Also looking at realistic options as well.
They want a strong man. They want a big, strong figurehead up forward, because we've seen a couple of these big clubs.
We need some Grinta, some Juve DNA back.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Juve is used to in the past.
Yeah, I do think Juventus over the last 4 or 5 years have lost sight of what they used to be. And I think at least that's the thing with Igor Tudor. He did play for the club. He knows what it's like to have that Juventus-ness in his DNA. And I think, as Alexa says, Conte, personally, I don't see Conte coming back. But if he was to come back, he knows what Juventus represent, what they're about. The Grinta, rolling your sleeves up, putting the work in. And Juventus, they don't have the Juve DNA in the club anymore. Not from the players, not from the coach. Not from the management.
Not from this shirt. And Conte actually played there.
During this era. And so I think bringing him back, I don't think it'll happen, but it would be a smart move because Juve do need some of that Conte-ness back.
Do you think Aurelio De Laurentiis will allow him to leave Naples that easily?
No.
I don't think so, pal.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, I see that's the dream there for Lex, and why not? I mean, Juventus moving forward, it just feels like they don't have that. I guess it could be a point that we need to make here. Other clubs are getting better. They're getting stronger. And of course, everyone wants to beat the biggest club out there, and Juventus has been the biggest club, 36 titles or 38 or a million, whatever you want to calculate they've got these days. So, all right, Igor Tudor in there, where do you see them actually finishing?
I see them finishing, I'm going to say top four, fourth okay. place.
Optimism's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I see us getting the job done because for a couple of reasons, Lazio's been on a downward slide for a little bit now. So I'm hoping that can play into it. Dybala's injured. So Roma's going to be missing Dybala coming into this last part of the season. And Bologna has a really tough schedule going forward. I'm hoping those things help us out. We get that new manager bounce and are able to get the job done.
That's a very bold statement there, Alexa, I would say, predicting Juventus top four, but you make very good points. So just to rewind a little bit, how did you become a Juventina?
I became a Juventina during the 2006 World Cup because of Gianluigi Buffon. My brother was a goalkeeper and my older brother is 2 years older than me. And I was at the age where I decided to copy everything that he liked and wanted to do. So he loved Buffon. So did I. I have a little picture of me in one of the old Juve, the Azzurro kit, that light blue one that he was wearing. So back then, just from that tournament, he was such a legend in that tournament and in that whole World Cup victory. So I think that him and I just latched onto Buffon, followed him to Juve, and just have been a massive fan ever since.
Take us through your journey into not just football content creation, but also your background in football.
So I began football content creation about 3 years ago. So kind of near the end of the pandemic, I was looking for something to do. And I had been following, like, we call it Calcio Twitter, which is the online community that speaks about all things related to Calcio. And I had been following for a while, and I love just like being a part of the discourse, and decided like one day might as well start my own account. Like, I love talking about Calcio and everything about Serie A. So I went ahead with that, and it just seemed to catch on. And I joined the All Juve Cast, which is a wonderful podcast run by Alberto Al. He lives out in Vancouver.
Shout out to Alberto. Come stai bene?
Yeah, shout out to Alberto. They're a really awesome team. So I've been working with them for about 3 years. And I just recently started some content creation on my own as well on Instagram and TikTok. So that's been exciting. It's given me something to do. I've been injured for the past 4 months. So I kind of got into that because I haven't been able to play football. So I figured that I would get more into my content creation side. And I've been enjoying it so far.
Yeah. What happened?
So I injured my right knee, my MCL and meniscus, playing football. And speaking of that, I did start my journey in football back when I was 3 years old. So I've been playing since I was three. I played at the collegiate level and the semi-professional level as well. I play mainly central attacking midfield.
She's a fantasista here.
Yeah, like Dybala.
And before we stalk your stats online somewhere, see how many assists and goals you're putting away, what was your first kit that you were given?
My first kit that I was given was that Buffon Juventus kit. I want to say it's like 2004. It was that sky blue one.
Does it have Tamoil across the front of it?
I think so, yes.
That's a Juve kit.
Yeah, right. I think that's like 05, 06.
Okay. All right. Happier days
from
before the decline.
Yeah. Before Calciopoli.
Well, before the decline, back to the rise of the, you know, nine in a row. But I guess you would have enjoyed that, nine in a row as you were growing up. And so your football journey, you've got that lineage in your family as well. They go back. Are they Juventini?
No, just my brother, actually. So, yeah, it doesn't go back much past that. My dad enjoys watching football, but was never really like a huge supporter of one club particularly. So, yeah, it was mainly just come from me and my brother.
He's a neutral. He's the journalist in the family. Yeah. And there's no allegiance to either club. So, and What is your lineage in terms of bloodline into the home nation of Italy?
So on my dad's side, my family's from Veneto, pretty close to Cittadella, actually. And on my mom's side, they're from Abruzzo. So it's been really cool to like explore my family's heritage. And I think that's one of the reasons why I love calcio so much, is because then I feel that connection. I love when I go back to Italy. I've been a couple times, unfortunately not to watch a game yet, but I love seeing the stadiums nearby, wherever we're at, even if it's like Serie D. My mom's family's from around L'Aquila, and there's a Serie D club there. So I kind of just got into following them as well, like unable to watch, but just follow their socials and just feel connected to that part of my my heritage as well.
I got a couple of questions here, but first I want to know, now that you have that plan to go back to Italy and see games, what would be three of your like favorite stadiums that you'd want to go to?
Oh man. Yeah, wow, it's tough to narrow it down to three. I can think of like so many. I think I'll start off the list with maybe an obvious one, but Juve going to Allianz Stadium would be top of my list, because I haven't been there yet. That would be honestly incredible to see. I think another awesome stadium would be, I love Venezia's stadium. I love the fact that you have to take the boat to get there. So I think that that would be a really cool stadium to go to as well. And another one would be the Alberto Pico Spezia Stadium. I would think that the scenery is beautiful there. So that would also be definitely on my list. So it would be my top three for sure.
And you've told me in a previous chat that you've got the will to go to Pescara. So what's behind that? You want to get to see the dolphins of Pescara?
Yes, right. Go visit Ciuffo. No, I'm kidding. But I would love to see like the Stadio Adriatico. I love their jerseys. Like I said, just another club that's got an awesome logo and cultural heritage. So I think it would be really fun. Actually, my brother's friend was from there, and he was there the season they were promoted as well. So he remembers that, like, and what it was like in the city at that time. And I just think, yeah, it would be a really cool thing to check off my cultural bucket list to be able to go there.
Yeah, Pescara is a beautiful little city if you haven't been there. We haven't done much of the Adriatic this year, but we haven't done the stadium guide for Pescara yet. We'll do Catania's because we've just been there, but we have done the Pico, we have done the Penzo, and we have done Juventus Stadium. So those are the top three for Lex right now that she wants to go to. Those are available on destinationculture.com. Do you have you had the chance to tune into any of the Femminile stuff, maybe with the Azzurri or Serie A in the past? Have you, has that piqued your interest?
Yes, actually, I've been able to watch Serie A Femminile now because it's on DAZN in Canada, which was really cool. I think that just like happened this season. And they've been showing Women's Champions League on DAZN and on YouTube. It's a five-year deal. I think it's been going on for a couple of years now. So yeah, whenever I can watch Serie A Femminile or the Women's Champions League, it's always exciting for me. I always mention to people that Juve didn't come out with a women's team until 2017. So like growing up, I never got to see myself playing, like that was like not even a potential option, you know what I mean? Like growing up, it was always watching Italian clubs on the men's side. So when Juve came out with their women's team and more clubs followed suit, and now like Serie A Femminile is a pretty strong league in women's football, it's just really exciting every time. It's awesome.
Alexa, how, obviously you're Canadian, how big is Italian football in Canada? Obviously, there's a massive population of second, third generation Italiani that went to live in Canada. So how is calcio in Canada? Is it growing, or what do you think the level of interest is?
I think it's certainly growing. I think that before it was a lot of Italian community members that were massive fans of, as we call it, soccer and calcio in general. There's certainly a big Italian community here in Toronto, so that really helps. So I can see that there's support, there's fan clubs for a lot of Serie A clubs as well. I think that football in general is growing in Canada. We see the national team is improving. Canada also started their first men's professional league recently, the CPL, the Canadian Premier League, which I enjoy watching in the summer when the European leagues are are not happening. So CPL is also really fun to watch. So I think that seeing that love for football grow in Canada has been really exciting for me and special. So it's nice to have fellow like community members that are supportive of the sport as well. And like I said, that Italian base is here. So there's certainly cultural support. You can find it in Canada as well.
Great. And are there Serie A watch parties?
Yeah, there are some. It's a little more difficult to like find a bar or a restaurant that's like playing games to go watch. Like I know it's maybe more something that happens in Europe. I was able to take part in that during the Euros when I was there. But yeah, over here, that part's a little bit different. You're more than likely to find like hockey, basketball, or American football on the screen. But otherwise, there are certainly watch parties if you know like where to find them, whether it's at like your local fan club or whatnot.
Will you be organizing the first ever Cittadella watch party in Canada?
You know what? That's a great idea.
Or just Serie B games in general. We're going to assign you. That's it. You're our ambassador into Canada
now. The Serie B ambassador.
Yes.
So we'll be emailing over the paperwork. Yeah.
I would love that. There we go. I might be a party of one if I help with watch party.
It always starts with one. You build it, they will come.
It's true.
I'm a rapper as well. So look, I'd love to actually go over to Canada and check it out, because I know that Toronto's got that multicultural feel. I mean, we call it soccer in Australia as well, so I know the cognitive dissonance in having to deal with people that question you on calling it football or soccer. It's called soccer. That's not football. In Australia, we call rugby league football, and it's played with your hands. Yeah. So,
Ireland, well, Ireland's the same. We call it soccer in Ireland, and we've got Gaelic football, which is football. So we're all in the same position.
So, you know, it's, I think it's just about claiming the word. It's public domain words, and we're not allowed to use the word football anymore. But yeah, look, it's called soccer. Soccer. And we call it soccer. Soccer, mate. So
yeah, that's it.
In universal terms, that's it. We're very global here on this podcast. What is your feeling, the sentiment around how Italy got knocked out of the UEFA Nations League quarterfinal, didn't make it to the semis?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely some defensive errors. I thought they conceded a lot of silly goals, a lot of avoidable goals as well against Germany. Ultimately, I think that Italy and Spalletti, I want to see more from his call-ups, particularly more players that are in form right now, especially in the league. I thought he missed out on players like Orsolini. I would even argue, while he may not have played, but Di Gregorio was also a good pick, and just looking to integrate more youth and some younger players as well. We see now like Miretti and Fagioli, although they've kind of just peaked recently, they're starting to pick up form as well. So they would be two names like I'd love to see called up in the future. So I think just Italy looking to bring in those younger players, play who's at their best right now in order to get the most out of the group.
Yeah, some of those goals were disgraceful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially the second goal in the second leg over there. You know, the guys are asleep and they're putting away a corner and there's no keeper in the goal. But those things happen. Spalletti actually said he was happy that it happened, so they'll learn. But do you think there's also that symbiosis between the way that Italy are conceding goals, the way that Juventus are conceding goals? A strong Juventus, some used to say, meant a strong Italy, because Juventus like to go around and steal, pick all the good players, the good Italian players out and stick them in their team. And then from there, Italy will strengthen. I don't know. Is that still the same for you, Emmett?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, say, 1982, there was a strong Juve block. If you look at 2006... there was a strong Juve block. If you look at Euro 2020, there was Chiellini and Bonucci at the back line on their last legs, you know, one last tournament.
And there's no defenders like them anymore.
Yeah. And I don't think we're at the point now where a good Juventus represents good Italy, but I do feel like the biggest club in Italy should have more representatives in the Azzurri. But the fact that Juventus aren't that good in the last couple of years means there's no reason, or Spalletti has no, there are no Italians in Juventus anymore, yes, especially in defence. So it's, you can't, if they're not there, you can't pick them.
Would have been nice to have Cambiaso.
Yeah.
Would have been nice.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Italy formation? Are you happy with this 3-5-2 situation, or would you prefer something else?
This is a difficult question as well. I was thinking about it earlier. I think that I love a 4-3-3. I love a front three in general, just personally. And I don't know, maybe I'm nostalgic about the Euro shape and the way that worked out for us under Mancini. But I do think that it would still suit this squad. But I understand Spalletti's decision to play a 3-5-2, mainly because of Bastoni being the best in a back three. You have Di Marco that can play wing back, Barella in the three-man midfield. Ideally, you're hitting some of your strongest players and getting their best attributes in a 3-5-2. My concern comes with the attack. I think that Italy having been in a bit of a striker crisis as of recent years, as everyone knows, I think that having to play two strikers in that formation does make that aspect more challenging. Keane does seem to be stepping it up. I think the question you'd have to ask with the 4-3-3 would be who could play on the wing. That might be the one weakness of playing that formation. I would like to see like Orsolini and Zaccagni, with Retegi in the middle when he's back. So I would still like to see a 4-3-3, but as I mentioned, I can understand the 3-5-2 decision on Spalletti's part.
And is that in a three-man front line there, you're saying? Zaccagni?
Yes.
With Retegi in the middle? Yeah, of course. I mean, Phenomenal form. Yeah. Pity that was unavailable, the Oriundo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also the fact that a lot of Serie A clubs utilize a 3-5-2, it makes sense for Spalletti to
Inter,
go
Napoli,
Atalanta, have a variation of it. So it makes sense for Spalletti to adapt a 3-5-2 because a lot of the players know how to function within the system. Obviously, you have DeMarco, arguably the best left wing back in the world. And, you know, obviously on the other side, you have players that have played in as a right wing back. So I do see why Spalletti has went for the 3-5-2. But obviously, as Alexis says, 4-3-3 is maybe a little bit sexier or more attractive or attacking. But I do see why Spalletti went for the 3-5-2.
So let's finish up with a bit of Serie B chat. We've spoken about how you'd like to get to the Alberto Pico. Spezia are doing okay. You've got a fond spot for them.
Yes, I do. Honestly, because of Vincenzo Italiano.
Okay.
He is my favorite coach right now in Italy. I love Italiano. I've loved Italiano since his Spezia days. I love the season when Daniele Verdi was playing in Ballanzola, like so many ballers. Like it was so much fun to watch the style of his group. I remember that game against Milan. I think they won that match. That was like a huge
free
accomplishment
kick that
for Italiano.
Yeah, Esposito scored that
free kick. He's been doing so well when he moved up to Fiorentina. So I've just been following his project. It's another like calcio stream that I follow would be Italiano's coaching journey as well. And now at Bologna, I mean, he's doing even better than Thiago Motta was last season. So another while playing in three competitions, now they're just left in the Coppa, semifinals of the Coppa Italia, and are sitting in fourth place.
And with a weaker squad than last season.
Yeah.
So they're best players.
Yeah.
Made
after
a stack
losing
of money.
Calafiori,
yeah,
yes,
Xerxes.
I think it's been incredible, and that speaks also to Bologna's sporting director Sartori. So just the project they've got going on at Bologna is just really interesting to watch and follow up. And I may have picked Italiano to be Juve's next coach, but I really think he's in a good spot at Bologna right now
with the
project and the backing he has. So I'd like to see how he does there another season.
Yeah.
But
I think also it's got to the point now where any aspiring Italian coach looks at Juventus, and if they play attacking football, they're probably thinking, no, because they never last. You think of Pirlo, you think of Sarri.
If they don't win,
Thiago
it's all about
Marta.
Results. It's results based at Juventus.
Yeah,
it's always, not about the football,
no.
Really.
So someone like Italiano would not mix well with Juve. As much as you would like him to come in, he wouldn't get the time. He would get 6-7 months, he'd be gone. So he's probably thinking, no, I'm okay at Bologna. Maybe go to Atalanta or Napoli or...
That's the way it is. Well, you got the Cittadella shirt on. Who's your favorite Cittadella player?
Yes. My favorite Cittadella player?
I love Pandolfi, personally. I love Vita in the midfield, the Grinta that maybe Juventus need. But yeah, I mean, basically what I love about Cittadella is the fact that they go to Serie C and they look for like the all-stars of the previous season, and then they get like half a dozen of them. And then, because they've got so many players, people kind of use Cittadella as that stepping stone to move from Serie C to another bigger club. And we've seen so many good players come and go. And you know what? They're always punching above their weight. And they're underdogs. That's what I love about them.
I was going to say, the fact that they've been in Serie B for as long as they have is an incredible accomplishment, especially for a town of their size. Yeah. And so I think that it's just, I really hope that it works out as well this season. The relegation battle in Serie B is wild right now.
They could go up to the playoffs.
Two wins and they're in the playoffs.
I mean, it was a poor result against Sud-Tirol, let's be honest. But yeah, they lost. I think it was 5-1 at home, and it was 5-0, and then they scored late. But so we're showing some games this week. We're back. Serie B's back. Calcio is back this week, and Sampdoria Frosinone, and Frosinone, another Serie A club from last season. So they're doing battle in Genoa at the Marassi this weekend. That's going to be good. Cesena and Juve Stabia. So another pair of underdogs there recently in Serie C.
Cesena and Kraken
fighting it out for a playoff spot. I mean, some amazing players. And Bastoni there, Simone Bastoni is a former Spezia player that you'd know of in that team under Italiano, and he's playing against US Stabia. He's playing in a midfield position now. He used to play at left back. But Salernitana and Palermo, that's a massive one. What would be your favourite if you're going to watch one of these three games on Destination Calcio this week?
I think probably Salernitana Palermo.
Yeah, feisty.
Just because of the historic nature of both those clubs. They've been iconic. I think Palermo being back in Serie B is exciting as well. A lot of people I know are hoping for their promotion back to the top division eventually someday. Dybala's a Palermo legend, right? So I would definitely like to tune in to that match. And speaking of La Serie B matches on Destination Calcio, that's how I originally found out about you guys. And I just think it's so amazing that I'm finally able to follow Serie B in Canada, because prior to finding out about Destination Calcio, there was nowhere really to watch regularly. So it's just great, the work that you guys do. So thank you so much. Like, I'm honestly really
pleasure
happy.
Pleasure is ours. I mean,
we didn't pay Alexa for that, by the way.
Yeah, it's not a paid promotion, by the way.
Yeah,
it's just appreciation. It's true. Like, apart from going to like Z or Benny's house to get the illegal stream to watch a bit of Palermo, you can now see it on our app. So every Italian family knows that. And it's great. I mean, look, Salernitana Palermo, and Daniele Verde is there at Salernitana right now. And
That's my guy. Love Verde.
I love him. He's so good. Did you see that? Remember that bicycle kick that he scored? I mean, that was sensational. Yeah. I think I won goal of the month. It won in Serie A back then for Spezia.
It was.
Yeah, he's such a good player. So, Emmett, what's your favourite game for this week?
I think I'd have to agree with Alexa. I would say Salernitana Palermo, just because you know the Iraqi is going to be bouncing. Obviously, it's a favourite stadium of ours, David. We went to, as we said, Pirlo's last match. I think it'll be a feisty game. But in saying that, Cesena, Juve Stabia will be good. Obviously, both pushing for promotion. Cesena in cracking run of form lately. Juve Stabia also in their own good run of form. So, yes, those are probably my favorite games of the weekend, the two games I would look to watch.
What do you think of Adorante up forward for Juve Stabia this season? Can he catch Yamello?
Yeah, I mean, what's he on, 10, 11 goals, I think?
He's on 12 now, 12 Adorante,
for the Pablito.
And he hit the post last game.
Yeah, so he's coming into his own in the second half of the season. Obviously, Yamello and Pedro Esposito are kind of running away slightly, but it could be, you know, he's in a good run of form, and I think Juve Stabia also in good form. So he could, you know, he could end up winning the Pablito.
Okay. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, the Paolo Rossi award. Race is very competitive.
It is. So I'm going to ask Alexa a question about Serie B in the top eight. I want to get a prediction from her to see who she thinks is going to make the playoffs. Apart from Sassuolo, who's pretty much already promoted, they're on 69 points. Pisa on 60 points. They're halfway there because they've got 5 points separation over Spezia. So there's still hope for Spezia with 55 points. But then it's that pack. It's the peloton.
Yeah.
Everyone's cycling behind them. And it's Cremonese, 48 points. Catanzaro, 46 points. Juve Stabia, 43 points. So everyone's close. Cesena, 42. Bari, 40. Palermo, 39. They're in ninth place, Palermo. So they're still within reach. Who can you see? Can you see Palermo actually making the top eight?
I think it's certainly possible. I think it would depend on the form of the clubs around it. certainly. I think that I was really hoping that Spezia would get the automatic promotion, but it seemed like they went on a bit of a slide. So they were in that position, but now I think maybe hoping the playoff route, as I really like to see them back in the Serie A again. But yeah, certainly I think I can see Palermo stealing away into that group.
And Juve Stabia 6th and Cesena 7th. That is a big one. That's a six-pointer. There's only 1 point separating. Juve Stabia 1 point ahead of Cesena, 43-42. So we're going to see how that pans out this week on the Destination Culture TV app and also tv.destinationculture.com. Palermo still within a shout. Cittadella, though, let's talk about that. Your team there is 33 points. They're 1 point above Samp on 32, who are in that fifth last position. So do you think they can hold on?
I think so. I'm going to be hopeful. I always end up going with the hopeful way, but I think they can hang on. I think they've been able to do it in the past and kind of come back from being in positions like this. So I think that I can certainly see Cittadella getting the job done, staying up and I'd really like to see that. I think that would be great. So I know like in Serie C, like Padova and Vicenza, I think we're both close to promotion to B. So it would be cool to get a derby next season. So hopefully they stay up.
They're the only Veneto team. So we're finally going to get a Venetian derby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what? We're showing on DC TV. We're showing Sampdoria Cittadella, which could be a playout.
A playout,
because fifth and fourth last play out. So Cittadella just above them. That's in 2 or 3 weeks' time. We're showing Spezia Sampdoria also. So we're having these games for you on Destination Catch. Obviously, they've scheduled the matches to your liking, Lex, and that's what we love to see.
Yes.
So, okay, Serie B is wrapped up here, and so is Alexa. We're going to wrap her up because it's time to go, and we're looking forward to speaking to you again soon. What's coming up for you? Tell us where we can find you.
You can find me at the handle TheBalexa on Twitter or X, Instagram, and on TikTok as well. I'm getting into posting some cool cultural stories. I wanted to do some background on different clubs, just talking about culture in general on that account and on X, Twitter. Usually I'm having takes on recent games and fixtures. So if you're interested in any of that, that's where I'll be.
We loved having you on the podcast. Hope to have you again soon. Piacere and buona fortuna this weekend with Cittadella and Juventus.
And speedy recovery from your injury.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much to both of you. It was honestly a huge honor to be on the podcast here and to meet both of you and talk about Calcio. So I really appreciate your time and thank you for inviting me on.
A lovely young lady.
Yep.
This is what we need every week.
Yep.
All right, Dan, sorry, mate, you'd be maxed. But we'll rotate Emmett out for you as well. Again, thank you to Lex.